Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Purvajakacharya Ashtotra Satyashishi Mahat. His Divine Grace is Bhakti Vedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Ki. Ananta Kota Vaishnavinda Ki. His Confounder Chai, His Divine Grace Shri Prabhupada Ki. Gaur Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutala Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitya Namane. Namaste Sarasati Devi Guru Vani Vajanane Nirvishesha Sundarvani Pastrati Vesitara. Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this morning we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam Mahapurana. Text, chapter, canto number 1, chapter 12, text number 1. Shaunaka uvacha, aspatamo pashestena, brahma shishno rutejasa, Uttaraya hato garba Nishena jivita puna Shonaka uvacha Asvatama no prasvestena Ramashishnu Tejasa Uttaraya Hatogarbha Vishnena Jivitapuna Uttaraya Hato Garbha Ishena Jivita Puna Shishana Kuvacha Ashtakamma Prasistena Vama Shishnodu Tejasa Uttaraya Togarbha Ishena Jivita Puna Shishanaka Uvacha Uttaraya Hato Garbha Ishena Jivita Puna
Some people were chanting Sri Shanaka Vacha. I was chanting Sanaka Vacha because there's a difference in the book and what's up there.
Mine doesn't
have a Sri. Yeah, the book here doesn't have a Sri. But does that mean that Shonaka Uvach Shonaka is not Shri? So word for word, Shri Shonaka Uvacha.
Shri Shonaka Uvacha.
The sage Shonaka said.
The sage Shonaka said.
Aswatthama.
Aswatthama.
Of Aswatthama, son of Dronacharya.
Of Aswatthama, son of
Dronacharya. Upasheshtena.
By release of
Brahmashishna,
the invincible weapon, Brahmastra,
Uru Tejasa,
by high temperature,
Uttaraya, of Uttara,
mother of Parikshit,
Hata, being spoiled,
Garbha,
womb, Ishena, by the Supreme Lord, Anjivita,
brought to life,
Puna,
again.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The sage Shonaka said, the womb of Uttara, mother of Maharaj Parikshit, was spoiled by the dreadful and invincible Brahmastra weapon released by Aswatthama, But Maharaj Parikshit was saved by the Supreme Lord. Purport. The sages assembled in the forest of Naimisharanya inquired from Suta Goswami about the birth of Maharaj Parikshit. But in the course of the narration of other topics, like the release of the Brahmastra by the son of Drona, his punishment by Arjuna, Queen Kunti's prayers, the Pandavas' visit to the place where Bhishma Dev was lying, his prayers, and thereafter the Lord's departure for Dwarka were discussed. His arrival at Dwarka and residing with the 16,000 queens, etc., were narrated. The sages were absorbed in hearing such descriptions, but now they wanted to turn to the original topic, and thus the inquiry was made by Shonaka Rishi. So the subject of the release of the Brahmastra weapon by Aswatthama is renewed. Om Jnana Tamaranda Shaganandjana Shalakaya Chakshadini Tamyena Tasmai Shri Kudavaya Namaha. So I'd just like to take us back to yesterday. Madhamati gave the class, and it was a very attractive, inviting presentation that she made. You recall she described how we get a vision of what's going on in the inner quarters of Rukmini by thinking of ourselves as a piece of furniture observing what's going on. And then the description of the playful mood that all the devotees were in when they were doing a drama, which included even Haridas Thakur and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. Who remembers what part Haridas Thakur played?
He was
a
guard.
Yes, he was a guard, policeman. Haridas Thakur. So it was a light-hearted, very inviting type of presentation. And that's one way to present discussions on Srimad Bhagavatam. Of course, there are many ways in which recitations of the Bhagavatam can be made, not just in terms of the meter of the Sanskrit verses and everything, but as we saw yesterday, in the approach to the presentation. So this morning, I'd like to present a contrasting approach to describing the Srimad Bhagavatam. And this is not just because she's my wife. And I gotta say something different than she said. But there's a reason why this can be discussed. And it has to do with where we are in the Srimad Bhagavatam today. We're at a new chapter. Today's a new chapter, Birth of Emperor Parikshit. And it's a natural break. In literary work, there are natural breaks which divide a work up into segments which help the story progress. And so here we are at the start of a new chapter in Bhagavatam, and it's part of an overall structure of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the kind of idea that I want to give you today by making the presentation that I have. Now, the Srimad Bhagavatam, this is the start of a chapter, but does anybody have any idea about the structure of Srimad Bhagavatam, of how many chapters there actually are in Srimad Bhagavatam? There are 332 chapters in the 12 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam. And so each of those chapters, later in Prabhupada's working and translation of the Bhagavatam, he started adding a chapter summary. I think maybe fifth fifth or sixth canto it picks up where he did that. In these early cantos, obviously he didn't. But 332 chapters dividing the work up. Now, the structure of the Bhagavatam actually starts, let's back up a bit. There are 12 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam. These are also natural breaks in a literary work, particularly a long one like Srimad Bhagavatam, or the Ramayana or Mahabharata. You'll also find they have different khandhas. Skandhas. Or chapters. No, they're not chapters. Skandhas are the canto. So Srimad Bhagavatam has 12 cantos. And in those 12 cantos, there are 332 chapters. Adhyaya are chapters. Skandhas are cantos. Adhyaya are chapters. And verses, 18,000 verses in Srimad Bhagavatam. So there's some structure to the work. So it's not the freewheeling plays, dramas that we heard yesterday. It's structure. There's a structure. So we're at a natural break in the narrative of Srimad Bhagavatam. And the subject matter could go anywhere. I mean, we've just finished a description of Krishna entering Dwarka, and then the purport, Prabhupada reviews the things that have been discussed. And it's since we last pick up this trail that starts with this chapter, many things have been discussed. Let's just review them here a bit. The release of the Brahmastra by Drona, his punishment by Arjuna, Queen Kunti's prayers, the Pandavas' visits to the place where Bhishmadeva was lying, his prayers, and thereafter the Lord's departure for Dwarka were discussed. His arrival in Dwarka and residing with the 16,000 queens, etc., they're narrated. So all these subject matters, which I think you'll agree with me, are very essential to the structure and nature of the Srimad Bhagavatam, were discussed. And so we're at a natural break. Krishna's return to Dwarka. We've got a little glimpse into his activities in Dwarka with the 16,108 queens. And now we're at a new chapter, and we could go anywhere. That new chapter could go anywhere in terms of the lessons, the loving exchanges that we saw in all of these things since we last took up Parikshit Maharaj and the Brahmastra being thrown. So, in spite of all those things being available, why did the sages return back and want to hear about Parikshit Maharaj? Why did they do that? Srimad Bhagavatam, 12 cantos, 332 verse chapters, 18,000 verses. Srimad Bhagavatam is actually compared to the bodily parts of Krishna. So that's another direction that the discussion could have gone with the sages at Naimisharanya. Let's just review for ourselves a little bit of this other structure or outline in which we can understand Srimad Bhagavatam by comparing Krishna to the bodily parts, Srimad Bhagavatam to the bodily parts of Krishna. I think everyone should know these things. The first two cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam are what? Compared to what? Krishna's lotus feet. And what does that have to do? What implication does that have for how we worship Krishna and how we understand Srimad Bhagavatam? Yes, very good. We start our study of Srimad Bhagavatam, we start our darshan of Krishna at the lotus feet. And so the significance of the lotus feet, so much could be discussed about that. Third and fourth cantos are the thighs of the Lord. Fifth canto is his navel, yes. We should know these things. They're like guideposts or structure by which we can approach the Bhagavatam. So sixth canto is chest. Seventh and eighth canto is arms. Ninth canto is his throat or neck, yes. And everyone knows this one, but again, it involves the 10th canto, and we're advised, what, in our study of Bhagavatam?
Read all nine
first before jumping to the 10th canto, which we'd want to do. Why would we want to jump to the 10th canto? What does it represent, or what is it? His beautiful lotus face, so we would naturally want to jump there. But that's not the structure of how we study Srimad Bhagavatam. The 11th canto, his forehead, and 12th canto, his head. So Srimad Bhagavatam is compared to the bodily parts of Krishna, but it's not just an idle comparison. It provides a structure in which how we should proceed in studying Srimad Bhagavatam. So does the 10 topics of Srimad Bhagavatam. At the beginning, I mentioned Mahapurana. Srimad Bhagavatam is Mahapurana. It's a category of Sanskrit literature, actually. Again, part of the structure. Does anybody know what are the characteristics of the Mahapurana? What's discussed? Yes.
Well, one thing is it has 10 topics versus like a minor Purana, which only has at least 5.
Okay, Mahapurana has 10 topics. More minor have only 5.
It has to do with like creation.
Yeah, the topics, the specific topics are the same. Creation, destruction, like that. Does anybody know the 5 particular ones? Well, the 10 topics of Srimad Bhagavatam, we'll cover them, so that'll cover what is a Mahapurana. But again, it's a category of literature that relates to the importance and weight that's given to a literature in your overall study of Krishna consciousness. We may come up with two differing opinions or two differing views of a particular point. And so the distinction of a Mahapurana versus other Puranas help us understand how much weight to give to a particular opinion or a particular presentation of a philosophical point. Again, help us in our analysis and understanding of the true message of Srimad Bhagavatam. So, there are 10 topics of Srimad Bhagavatam, and I thought that we'd go through them just so that we get some interesting facts about each topic. Now, these 10 topics are also related to the fact that there are 12 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam. That's another division. We find that this work is divided into cantos very much based on what the topics that they're discussing are. Like the first two cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam, they're like a prelude to Bhagavatam. They give the background of the entire narrative. So not only is it just sort of idly that we're going to the feet first, but it's a purpose. You go to the feet first, and there you get the background to the narrative of the entire work. It's structured like that. So the first two cantos Srimad Bhagavatam provide that prelude. Now, in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we find Prakshit Maharaj asking more questions of Sukadev Goswami. In the second canto, we really get the dynamic presentation of Prakshit Maharaj hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam from Sukadev Goswami. That's introduced in the first canto, but actually in the second canto is where that actually starts. So in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we have the first of the 10 topics, which is Sarga, or creation. This is a primary creation done by Mahavishnu. Of the ingredients of the material creation. So third canto, the first 11 chapters of the third canto describe this creation. Now, in the third canto also, from chapter 12 into the 15th chapter of the fifth canto, so we cover the subject matter of Visarga, or secondary creation, is covered in Canto 3, 4, and up to the 15th chapter of Canto 5. Sarga, creation, Visarga, or the secondary creation, executed by who? Who does the secondary creation?
Brahma.
Lord Brahma, yes. Now, as we move on in the 10 topics of Srimad Bhagavatam and the corresponding canto in which they're discussed, we come to sthanam or sthiti. This is very interesting because the sthanam, it's described in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, and there we find the description of the universe, how the universe is constructed, including the heavenly planets and the hellish planets. Sthanam actually means a place to maintain the living entities. Living entities have to be existent somewhere, and so being completely dependent on the Supreme Lord, the Lord creates a place for maintaining them. Sthanam, or sthiti. This is described in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where you'll find description of the different islands, seven islands of Bhumandala, the structure of the universe, movements of the sun and different planets. And so if there's going to be a creation, and there are going to be bodies created for the living entities, they have to have a place to live. So that's provided by the Supreme Lord, sthanam. So is the next, which is poshanam, or protection. That's described in the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And it arises out of Prakshit Maharaj's worry about what's going to happen, how the living entity is going to be protected from what he heard in the fifth canto. What's in the fifth canto that we need the protection from? Description of the hellish planets, yes. So the Lord provides poshanam, and that's described in the sixth canto. Seventh canto refers to inclinations, uti, inclinations towards material activities. And you'll find in the seventh canto, Maharaj Yudhisthira has a long conversation with Narada Muni, describing the Varnashram Dharma and how that all operates. Eighth canto, the Manvantaras are described, the rules of Manu, the fathers of mankind. The Manus are saintly kings empowered to look after the universe, look after the welfare of all human beings. A I thought that was interesting understanding, that the Manu's role is to look out for the welfare of all human beings. So that's in the eighth canto, we find Gajendra, Vamandev, different Manus discussed there. Ninth canto, description of the Lord's interaction with his associates. There's an interesting discussion of the Sun Dynasty and the Moon Dynasty and different kings that come from each dynasty. Who's a descendant of the Moon Dynasty? Vaivasvata Manu, Puru Rava, Lord Parashram, and who's a descendant of the Sun Dynasty?
Lord Ram.
Lord Ram. So all these are described in the ninth canto. Tenth canto is Ashraya Tattva, or Krishna. And there we find the descriptions of Lord Krishna's pastimes. 11th canto, Mukti, or liberation. You recall in our recent study of the 11th canto, we have the Uddhava Gita, Navayogendra's instructions, very philosophical section of Srimad Bhagavatam. And the 12th canto, Nirodha, or destruction. There was an interesting description in the source that I was reading to gather this material. It describes Nirodha as the Lord turning his eyes away from creation. And this turning away is called his sleep. So it's not that he goes to sleep like us, but he simply turns away. And by doing that, all the living entities in the material creation are forced to sleep. So those are the 10 topics of Srimad Bhagavatam, and they form the structure with the different cantos as we've tried to illustrate. Now, I didn't talk too much about the 10th canto, Ashraya, but it's obviously the focus of the entire Srimad Bhagavatam, and all the other cantos and subjects of Srimad Bhagavatam are meant to be understood as explaining or giving us the qualifications to approach this tenth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. The Lord is called Ashraya, the object providing shelter, and the dependent living entities are called Asrita, or requiring shelter. And that fact is reflected in the structure of Srimad Bhagavatam, and it's studied in that all of the verses should be seen as pointing toward that 10th canto instruction. So given all those 10 topics, comparing the Bhagavatam to the bodily limbs of Krishna, over 12 cantos, 332 chapters, and 18,000 verses, the question still remains about why the sages wanted to hear about Parikshit at this turn of events. Yes?
Well, because we have to get to the whole main story of the Bhagavatam, which is Maharaj Parikshit, you know, being like sentenced to death in 7 days and then having to hear everything from Shukadeva Goswami. So we have to get back to that storyline.
Yes. We have to get back to that, to what is the main purpose of the Srimad Bhagavatam, its function. And that involves Parikshit Maharaj, because Parikshit Maharaj is the hearer of Srimad Bhagavatam. He's the recipient of the teachings of Sukadeva Goswami, and it's all structured for him, in a sense, him and all of us. And this is illustrated by the fact that Srimad Bhagavatam is presented in disciplic succession and has to be understood that way. And if we go over the disciplic succession, we'll find an interesting person right in the middle of it. First, the Supreme Lord taught Srimad Bhagavatam to who? Lord Brahma. Then Lord Brahma, in turn, taught it to who? Narada Rishi. And Narada Rishi, in turn, taught the Bhagavatam to who? Vyasadeva, his disciple. And Vyasadeva, in turn, recited Srimad Bhagavatam to who? Sukadeva Goswami. And Sukadeva Goswami, in turn, recited it to who? Parikshit Maharaj. So that's why the sages are asking about Parikshit Maharaj, because the whole dynamic of Srimad Bhagavatam opens up because of the relationship between Sukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj. That's how all of us in our study of Srimad Bhagavatam follow Parikshit Maharaj to the perfection of understanding the 10th canto, and then upon that understanding, then departing this material world. So that's Srimad Bhagavatam in a nutshell, the structure. That's just a different way of presenting the same kind of activities we heard about yesterday, and that type of presentation of Srimad Bhagavatam. So that's on structure. I guess soft things are a woman thing, structure is a man thing. We can look at it that way also. That, not really, but anyway, is there any comments or questions? Yes, Divyanga Prabhu.
We're just so fortunate that Srila Prabhupada in 1970 jumped us up to the 10th canto by giving us Krishna book. And he wrote it in such a way that it was safe for us to understand. Because everybody wants to see the lotus face and hear the personal pastimes. And that's what he did. He just gave it to us. Gave it to everybody. He told us to go give it to everybody. And that first day when they delivered those books to Prabhupada at Rathyatra, he distributed them all. He had one left, and he distributed that too. You know, because when Prabhupada brought that case, the first case of those big silver Krishna books, Prabhupada just distributed them right away. Boom. And you open that anywhere in that book, and not only do you get this nectar story of Krishna and all his amazing things he does, but in there you have quotes from Vishwanath and all the acharyas, and it's not just Bhagavatam, there's Gita, there's Chaitanya Charitamrita. Every single paragraph of Krishna book is structured with just everything you can imagine flowing from all the Gaudiya Acharyas, and Prabhupada made it that way so we could actually enjoy it. I mean, it's how fortunate.
Yeah, I mean, Prabhupada, he wanted to give that to the devotees. He interrupted his translation, progressive translation that we presented here, Srimad Bhagavatam, so just so he would have enough time to give that, because he so much wanted to give that to the devotees. A bona fide authorized description of Krishna's Leela in the 10th canto.
Written in a way that anybody can read it. And he wrote right in the book, anyone who reads this book will become Krishna conscious. I mean, we're so lucky. We must have done something right.
Even if we didn't do anything right. He's done something right for us. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Shesha Prabhu. Prabhu, you read that Sarga Visargasthanam. You read Uti, Poshana, Mukti, and Ashraya. There's one Sanskrit word you didn't read in those cantos. You're describing.
You're asking for the word?
Yeah, word, Sanskrit word. No Sanskrit word?
Okay, so the 10 topics, Sarga, Visarga, Sthanam, Poshana, Uti, Manvantara, Ishanu, Kata, and Ashraya Tattva, Mukti, and Nirodha. 10 topics. Yes?
About Divyanga Prabhu's comment, I know devotees who, I think Dandakesha is not here, but she read the Bhagavad Gita and she was like, who is this person who's saying, you know, worship me, I'm everything, you know, me, you know, and she didn't care for it. But then when she read the Krishna book, she just fell in love with Krishna. I mean, and you know, Prabhupada, that's like you said, philosophically he describes everything, but she just fell in love with Krishna, with reading the Krishna book. And then we have Prishni, I think, who read the Krishna book, and she was thinking, oh, what kind of fairy tales are these, you know? But when she read the Bhagavad Gita, she just fell in love with, you know, the first. So Prabhupada's books are just amazing, you know, there's different books for different people, and so all is there.
Different slokas for different folks.
I was thinking about, the Krishna book, how Prabhupada, you know, got it distributed, you know, like this, right away. And I was thinking it's like Chaitanya Charitamrita, because Chaitanya Bhagavat is just all pastime, but Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Das Kaviraj, puts all philosophical understanding of Lord Chaitanya, and he gives the pastimes. So it's so, like, really, everything is really amazing in CC. So Prabhupada's Krishna book is, I think, like that, same thing.
So what's another book that Prabhupada wanted to give, so he interrupted his translation of Srimad Bhagavatam to concentrate on finishing Chaitanya Charitamrita so the devotees would have that. And it's interesting how not only philosophically he wanted that done, but he wanted practically the books to be produced as well. So therefore, he interrupted his work and he interrupted everybody else's work for Chaitanya Charitamrita 17 book marathon in the BBT in LA, where the whole community for like 2.5-3 months were just focused on how to do everything to point to the goal of getting 17 volumes out. So.
What would we do without the CC if he hadn't translated it?
Okay, anything else? Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam.